Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Flash it. New thing. This is the song. Got two lyrics. Very simple and plain. We can all sing together. Nobody has to feel left out. Join in. This is a song that people need to be singing right about now. When they're telling you that you can't, you shouldn't, you won't. Tell them this, tell them this, tell them this.
No matter what.
Mountains running, with guns in our hand, barbarian carrying rock band. Investing in stock, man. Testing the clock, grand. My peeps got a spot on the block of my block, fam. A jar in the pot, man. Gets you a knot, man. Like ching ching, hot damn. Cooked it like hot ham. Gotta be smart, man. Playing your part, man. Get your feelings apart. With ice over your heart, man. Hustle ain't a game. Hustle in the art, man. 50% sour, 50% smart, man. And lame as turns ain't shit sweet. Life gets cheap once plans gets breached.
A lot of people coming on and sharing their information. So I'm going to go ahead and jump right into it so we can get this thing kicked off and started. I'm excited. So here we go. You can find me at Facebook at george.mango.904. You can also find me on Facebook at Sign Off Forums 94713. You can also get me at Twitter at hashtag Sign Off Forums excuse me, sound off 97413. You can also call in tonight at 347-989-1014. That's area code 347-989-1014. I also like to say that my website, Sound Off Forums, is up. Please go check it out. The things that we talked about, images, websites, comments you can leave. You can sign in the guest book. You can just tour around and you know, just leave comments. Let me know what you think, okay? And so we're going to go ahead and jump into season 6 through 13. Not with eye service as man pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same he shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of the persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For I wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take upon you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having all done to stand. And let the church say, amen. I'd like to kick it off by saying I want to salute the veterans, and I would like to salute the service members. This edition is for them who proudly served, I should say for us, who've proudly served and have either paid either the ultimate sacrifice or got out of the military, done their 20, 30 years, and got out. That's rather your reserve, active duty, reserve, or National Guard. For those who don't know how the system works, reserves and active duty are for the federal government, so they have mobility to do whatever they want. The National Guard belongs to the states. And so anytime a state emergency happens, the state has control of their own army. Just to clarify that, because a lot of people don't know how that works. And I also like to go up the rank structure, just in case. And I'm speaking strictly army, because that's the service that I served with, the army. We've got enlisted, we've got within the enlisted, we've got from private to sergeant major. From officer's point of view, you've got your first lieutenant to general. Then you've got your chief warrant officers. Okay? We'll start off with the... We'll start off with the enlisted. The reason why I start off with the enlisted is because they do all the grunt work. I'm not saying they don't get recognized for it, but promotions of grandeur, you know, happens to those who've got a little bit of shiny rank on their shoulders. Okay? And it's kind of funny how you see it, but okay. So you've got the private, which is a E1. You've got a private second class, a private E2, which is an E2. You've got a private first class, which is E3. You have a specialist, which is an E4. You have a corporal, which is also an E4. You have an E5, which is a sergeant. You have an E6, which is a staff sergeant. You have an E7, who's a sergeant first class. You have a master sergeant and a first sergeant, both E8s. You have a sergeant major, and then you have a command sergeant major, which are E9s. And then you've got the sergeant major of the Army, which is an E9 as well. Now you've got your warrant officers. Usually warrant officers are enlisted ladies or gentlemen who switch over from the enlisted side. I say usually. And then you've got W01, which is just a regular warrant. You have a CW2, which is a chief warrant officer 2. You have a CW3, which is a W3, chief warrant officer 3. Then you have a CW4, which is a chief warrant officer 4. And then you've got a chief warrant officer 5, which is a W5. Now, when you go up to the other side of the house, you've got second lieutenant, which is an O1. You've got the first lieutenant, which is an O2. You've got a captain, which is an O3. You have an O4, which is a major. You have an O5, which is a lieutenant colonel, what we call a light bird. You have an O6, which is a colonel. You have an O7, which is a brigadier general. You have an O8, which is a major general, which is a 2-star. You have an O9, which is a lieutenant general, which is a 3-star. You have an O10, which is just a general, but it'll be a 4-star general. And then there's a special case where you have general of the armies. We can go in and look at the Air Force rank. Okay, you have an E1, which is an airman base. Then you have an E2, which is an airman. Then you have an E3, which is an A1C, airman first class. Then you have an E4, which is a senior airman. You have an E5, which is a staff sergeant. And then you have an E6, which is a tech sergeant. Then you have an E7, which is a master sergeant. Then you have an E7 that is a master sergeant with a diamond, and I assume that it's the same as a sergeant first class. Then with the leadership indications. Then you have a senior master sergeant, which is the E8, and then you have another senior master sergeant, which is the E8 with a diamond. And then you have an E9, which is the chief master sergeant, E9, which is with a diamond, which is the chief master sergeant. And you have another E9, which is the command chief master sergeant. And then you have the sergeant major of the Air Force, the chief major, sergeant major of the Air Force. On the other side of the house, on your officer side, you have an O1, which is the second lieutenant. You have an O2, which is the first lieutenant. You have an O3, which is the captain. You have an O4, which is a major. You have an O5, which is a light bird, lieutenant colonel. We have an O6, which is a colonel, full bird colonel. O7 is a brigadier general, which is 1-star. You have an O8, which is a 2-star major general. O9 is a 3-star lieutenant general. O10, is a general Air Force chief of staff, which is a general 4, 4-star. We'll move over to the Marines. You have E1, who is a private. You have E2, who is the private first class. You have E3, which is a lance corporal. You have E4, who is a corporal. You have E5, who is a sergeant. You have E6, who is a staff sergeant. You have E7, who is a gunnery sergeant. You have E8, who is a master sergeant. You have E8, who is a first sergeant. You have E9, who's a master gunnery sergeant. You have E9 as well, who's a sergeant major. And then there's another E9 who's a sergeant major of the Marine Corps. on the other side of that, they have warrants as well. Warrant one is a warrant officer. Warrant two is a chief warrant officer two. A W-3 is a chief warrant officer three. A W-4 is a chief warrant officer four. W-5 is a chief warrant officer five. Then you have, on the other side of the coin, you have an O-1, which is a second lieutenant. You have an O-2, which is the first lieutenant. You have an O-3, which is a captain. You have an O-4, which is the major. You have an O-5, who's a light bird lieutenant colonel. You have an O-6, what we call a full border colonel. You have an O-7, which is a one-star brigadier general. You have an O-8, which is a two-star major general. O-9, which is a three-star lieutenant general. O-10 is a regular general. We'll move over to the Navy. E-1 is a seaman recruit. E-2 is a seaman apprentice. E-3 is a seaman. E-4 is a petty officer third class. E-5 is a petty officer second class. E-6 is a petty officer first class. E-7 is a petty officer. E-8 is a senior chief petty officer. E-9 is a master chief petty officer. E-9 is a fleet command. This is with a star, fleet command, master chief petty officer, and an E-9 special, which is master chief petty officer of the Navy. Then you have your warrants. You have your W-1, which is a warrant officer 1. W-2 is a chief warrant officer 2. Chief warrant officer 3, which is a warrant officer 3. W-4 is a chief warrant officer 4. W-5 is a chief warrant officer 5. O-1, on the other side of the coin, is the O-1, is the insignant. O-3 is a lieutenant junior grade. O-3 is a lieutenant. O-4 is a lieutenant commander, which is a major. O-5 is a light bird colonel, or commander. O-6 is a full bird, which is called a captain. O-7 is a rear admiral, one star. O-8 is a two-star rear admiral. O-9 is a vice admiral, which is a three-star. O-10 is a four-star admiral chief of the Naval Operation Command of the Coast Guard. And then you have your O-11, which is a special, which is your fleet admiral. All right. And then we'll go into Coast Guard. A lot of people don't know about the Coast Guard, but we're about to tell them. All right. So E-1 is a seaman recruit. E-2 is a seaman apprentice. E-2 is the FA, which is a fireman apprentice. E-2 AA is an airman apprentice. E-3 is a seaman. E-3 FN means a fireman. E-3 AN is an airman. E-4, PO-3, petty officer third class. E-5, PO-2, petty officer second class. E-6, a PO-1, petty officer first class. E-7 is a CPO, which is a chief petty officer. E-8 is a senior petty officer. E-9 is a master chief petty officer. E-9 with a shield is the command master chief petty officer. E-10 is the master chief petty officer of the Coast Guard. They have warrants as well. W-2 is chief warrant officer 2. W-3 is the chief warrant officer 3. W-4 is the chief warrant officer 4. O-1 is the insignia. O-2 is what we consider to be a first lieutenant, is the lieutenant junior grade. O-3 is considered to be a captain, what we call a captain, but it is a lieutenant. An O-4 is a what we call a major, but their title is lieutenant commander. An O-5 is a light bird colonel, but they call them a commander. An O-6 is a full bird colonel, but they call them a captain. O-7 is a one-star rear admiral, but we consider him a one-star general. O-8 is a two-star general, but they call it a rear admiral. O-9 is a three-star general, but they call it vice Vice Admiral. O-10 is a four-star, which is the Admiral Chief of the Naval Operations or Commandant of the Coast Guard. Now that we've got all those formal things out of the way, the reason why I wanted to do that is because a lot of people don't understand or know what goes on. And the reason why I say that is because people say, "Where'd you do your boot camp?" Well, the Army don't do boot camp. We do basic training and AIT. Okay, and so I just want to give thanks for those who serve the Army and continue to do those great things that they've always done for the military and continuing to fight. There's good and bad in everything that we do. Tonight we're going to reflect on the good things because there's always enough evil to go around. So we'll try to stay positive. If you'd like to call in, Eric, the number to call in is 347-989-1014. So I pulled up the VA hospitals website, and they have revised the website from the last time I've been on it, which is really good. But what I want to get at is basic information, and I'm going to their basic information page. Let's see. They have when you go to the basic information page, on the left-hand side, they have compensation, education and training, home loans, life insurance, pensions, vocational rehabilitation, and employment and services. You can click on all tabs and you can go to wherever the direction is. I thought there would be something a little different, but I would like to tell you their mission. First I'll tell you what they say about frequent questions, and then we'll go into to the news about exactly what's going on with the military and, you know, the new things that are happening, and just, you know, keep you current on the things that are new and what are going on. So, okay. So, general information about the VA. There's a page of the inquiry rules and information, which is the IRIS, which is the ISIS. And once again, you can call in toll-free number if you need to contact the VA for anything. The toll-free number is it's a 800 number. You also can go to eBenefits to have your benefits. You can also ask questions, and there's also an education page. And there's also a VA locator where you can find VA medical facilities all around America. And that's very helpful because they may be a VA close to you and you don't even know it. And if you don't know that there's a VA to help you, then you won't get the proper care that you need. And a lot of soldiers nowadays are coming down with PTSD or TBI, and it's important that you find the right facilities to facilitate you and get you into the proper the proper facilities to facilitate your illness or your disability, because without that, you're going to be hurting. And it's important that you understand that you have earned this. So you should take even more so pride of taking care of yourself, okay? Because that's very important. You've been taking care of the country for a long time, but it's time for you to take care of yourself. And there's nothing wrong with taking care of yourself now. There's nothing wrong with that, because when we sign up to fight foreign and domestic, okay? And the VA offers so many different things that you can help yourself. They offer health, they offer benefits, they offer memorials, they have news release, they have leadership courses you can go to, they have VA issues, you have special events, they also have an internal government affair website that you can go to. Let's talk about this new GI Bill, okay? They say it's the post 9/11 GI Bill quick facts. It says, since the post 9/11 GI Bill was implemented on August the 1st, 2009, the VA has provided educational benefits to 773,000 veterans and their family members, accounting for more than $20 billion in benefits. Nearly 1 million eligible individuals participated in 2011, and 15% increase over the fiscal year of 2010. That is a 71% increase over the fiscal year of 2009. From the 2012-2013 academic program, 1,770 colleges and universities are supplementing post 9/11 GI Bill benefits by participating in the Yellow Ribbon program. Post 9/11 GI Bills paid for tuition fees on behalf of veterans or eligible dependents directly to the school with which they are enrolled, Eligible participants also receive a monthly housing allowance and up to $1,000 annual in books and supplies. The program also allows eligible service members to transfer their benefits to their spouse or children. The post 9/11 GI Bill provides financial support for education and housing to individuals with at least 90 days of service after September the 10th, 2001. All individuals discharged with a service connection disability after 30 days. Approved training under the post 9/11 GI Bill increased graduate and undergraduate degrees, vocal and technical training, flight training, correspondent training, licensing and national training programs, entrepreneurship training, and tutoring assistance. You can find this on the Department of Defense veteran website about the 9/11, and there's always something new coming up or changing, so you have to always be actually be engaged in what's going on, because there's an article right now that I just pulled up that came out yesterday. That came out on the 13th, and it says, let's see, this new release, I was just reading the GI Bill. It says, a new automated process cuts post 9/11 GI Bill claims processing times by more than half. It says, as a part of its ongoing transformation from paper-based to electronic claim process, the Department of Veteran Affairs have continued to improve the automated payment of benefits for veterans participating in the post 9/11 GI Bill education program. As a result, VA is now providing benefit payments to currently enrolled students in an average of 6 days, cutting by more than half of the process time experienced during the spring enrollment of last year, the emphasis of the VA's automatic process system called the long-term solution uses approximately 180 business rules to support the end-to-end automatic of the post 9/11 GI Bill claims. And so you can go to the GI Bill website, which is www.gibill.va.gov/ for more information. Other veteran concerns. I mean, I see a lot of people who stand on the street corner talking about their homeless and veterans. They have a program for homeless veterans. I'm not homeless, so I don't understand the full capacity of the process. But this is what they say on their website. It says, quick facts. Of 2012 annual housing assessment report, which is the AHAR, to Congress prepared by the HUD, estimated that there were 62,619 homeless veterans on a single night in January in the United States. That's a 7.2% decline since 2011 and a 17.2% decline since 2009. While the numbers of homeless people in the United States dropped by less than 1%, according to the AR, the veteran homelessness has been shown more robust of the decline. This year, the VA announced the eligibility of $300 million in grants as part of the supportive service of the veterans' families, the SSVF program, for communities, organizations established by the service, approximately 70,000 veterans and their family members facing homelessness. I won't comment on that. I'll just keep on trying to be positive tonight. So that's a positive thing. So if you want to know if you qualify for benefits, you can call 1-800-827-1000. That's if you want to check into your benefits. That's 1-800-827-1000. If you're having any type of critical mental illness or anything like that, please call in to the Veterans Crisis Hotline, which is 1-800-273-8255, and then press 1. I say it again, if you're having any type of crisis, any kind of crisis, the Veterans Crisis Line, please call 1-800-273-8255 and press the number 1. This is very near and dear to me. I've seen this on C-SPAN the other day. Women veterans. I think women veterans need to be more attentive or paid more attention to than they have been because of all the things they have to endure of being a woman. So they have homeless veterans for women. There's also a support page. There's a housing choice voucher. There's also a grant per diem program, a women veteran health program, and a VA mental health for women vets. And let me say this. I think because of how our minds are programmed, women don't come out and say things that happen to them or experience because they think that nobody will believe them. I mean, yeah, you've got the people who cry wolf, but if you seriously have something that happened to you or that was wrong with you, you need to say something because it's not going to get better for you if you do not speak up. We need to advocate healthy ways of living and being afraid to admit certain things because you don't think that anybody would help you. Well, you start crying loud enough or you start hollering loud enough, somebody's going to get your attention. Somebody's going to turn around and say, this person might need help. And this is what it's about. Veterans helping veterans, soldiers helping soldiers, because there's a lot of soldiers that are not being taken care of in the military or out of the military. And like I said, I told you I'll keep it positive. I keep it positive, and that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna keep it positive. Let's move on to special groups. Once again, there's special groups concerning the caregivers program. There's the combat veterans and their families. There's the homeless veterans, return to service veterans, rural veterans, seniors and aging veterans, volunteers and women veterans. Now, on this website page, it's under health, but it's important that we look at. I mean, I go to the VA all the time, and I tell you what, these seniors and aging veterans, I mean, it makes me look at what type of care I'm going to receive. It's saddening and it's heartbreaking because of the things that go on. But once again, I'm going to keep it positive. I'm going to save it for another day. Okay? So I like this site. It's called military.com, www.military.com. I used the site when I was in active duty, and now I'm using the website. It helps me get information about different things. So the hot news right now that's going on is the Pentagon spent nearly a $1 billion a year on unemployment. I really don't know what that means, but I guess we'll get to it. Battalion commanders relieve pressure through RAP. This is the Army side. The Wounded Warrior Rescue Reunion in Kuwait. Fathers promote sons in Afghanistan. They said that the Air Force suspends tuition assistance. The VA won't follow New York gun law. There's a lot of things on this website that'll help you as far as jobs and money, education. Let's look at spouses. Let's look at what's available for spouses. They have a thing called Ask Vicky, where a spouse can write that she thinks. Let me go back to that one page. It says and have been suffering from PTSD and depression. He has been said himself to have PTSD and refuses to get help. So you can go to this site, and you can what her name is, Ask Vicky, and it's on the left hand side on the resources, and you can get information, or you can write into that person if you're having some issues or you have some concerns. There's a spouse summit, www.military.com's 2013 spouse summit. It says join this website on April the 11th and the 12th in Ventia, Virginia. Registration is free and to all. And it's presented by USAA. If you're not a USAA member, you probably have no idea what I'm talking about, but that's okay. Also, Read Across America events targeted to military kids. It says Read Along event promotes literacy, strengthening vocabulary, and making the kids better listeners. I think that's a good program for kids because, you know, sometimes they are willy-nilly and out there. But, you know, it's something. Okay. Let's see here. I think this might be interesting. It says, this is for spouses. It says three tips to protect your children, protect your kids from economic woes. This article comes from PRN Newswire from out of Columbus. It says, as each day seems to bring more worrisome economic news, anxiety about the state of the financial world is finding its way into Americans' kitchens and affecting all the members of our families, including your children. One thing we know about kids is that they keep up with their parental feelings. Kids may sense that something is going on, even if they don't are too young to understand exactly what. Highlights magazine receives 60,000 pieces of mail from children each year, from drawings to poems to letters, asking for advice. Highlights editors read and respond to each letter and have, from more than 60 years, increased them from children's worries about money, their home life, and their anxieties. They suggest that following these tips will help your children through an uneasy time. Number one, parents need to try to manage their own anxiety so they don't convey it to their children. As a parent, be aware of what your fears may cause you to intimidate or distract your children. Do what you can do to allay yourself your own anxiety. Everyone has a different approach, but whether it is meditating, talking to friends, having a cup of calming tea, or just getting much information as possible, trying not to let the anxiety interfere with you being a nurturing parent. Two, if your children initiate questions about economics, be reassuring. Keep things in perspective. There have been ups and downs in the economy over the years, and people get through them. Children will pick up on their own emotional state, and if you let them know that no matter what they will be doing, and they are loved to take care of them, that they will hear, and I may help you share information on how the stock market works and how bank accounts work. Three, emphasize family togetherness. Remember that the kids having their own basic needs met is more important than the things money can buy. Love, sharing activities, communication are not based on money. Saving money and even making sacrifices can feel like an adventure to kids if they feel like everyone in the family is on board. And you can find this article at www.highlightkids.com or highlightparents.com. That's highlights with an S, parents with an S .com, or highlightskids with an S .com. And that's where I got that from, via this website. You can also connect with other sponsors on this page as well. And then there's a military community on this military.com site. This website is very informational, very very easy to navigate. It is very it's very computer friendly for those who are not really into the computer world, it is very very navigational. Okay, they even have what they call veteran job searches, where you can go into and type in your search engine, and they have articles. They have I'm gonna pull up this one article. It says 8 reasons you were not hired. Wow. Okay. It says no matter who you are or what your profession is, getting rejected at a job application is always a bit disheartening. It takes a lot of time and energy to build your resume, searching lists, and developing connections. It is all the hard work and flatlining. It can be all too easy to overlook the real reasons why you won't get hired. Check out the list from U.S. News of the top 8 possible reasons you didn't get the job or other sources of them. Number 1, someone else was more qualified. What do you do? Assure that from education, getting more job education, enthusiasm can go a long way. I'm not going to read all of it. Number 2, we weren't fully qualified for the job. What can we do? The best answer is to figure out what skills and what qualifications the employer is looking for and start developing them. 3, you flubbed the interview. No matter how well qualified you are at a position. Sharp interview skills are most important. Little mistakes such as not making eye contact or asking any questions can be a serious damper on how a hire manager perceives you. Being qualified for a job is the sum of the years of work and skill building, but interview skills are easy to develop. What can I do? Well, while you're building a resume is more of an art of science, good interview skills are fairly undesirable. Always start with a firm handshake, eye contact, and thank you. Build a repertoire with a personality by being yourself and being professional and attentive. 4, don't fit the culture. You may have every single qualification an employer is looking for, but fit the office culture. It's very important. Sometimes this can be difficult to identify, but employers need people who will get along with themselves and everyone else in the office. It's not always about something drastic like fashion choice. It can be as simple as not clicking together or having conflict of personalities. What to do? It's very difficult to know that the workforce culture is without actually working there. So, now that I'm on this tip, I'm going to start talking about some groovy stuff that I've done when I was in the military. There's this one time where I was in the Army and I was a private and I just got to my unit and we went to what they call NTC, which is the National Training Center in California and over in the Mojave Desert. And it was pretty awesome because I've never been to California, so I was pretty cool until we got into the meats and potatoes of things, I guess you could say. When we were ready to rock and roll and we went to the field, it wasn't as cool as I thought it would be. So as we go to the field, we've got some old equipment. We have the I was on the Palatine. I was in field artillery. I was the number one man. And I wasn't the best at it because I never loaded rounds before in my life. But then we started, getting the ammunition. And like I said, when we were getting our ammunition, we were getting all kinds of, fuses and powders and different nomenclatures of bullets, what we call, what you guys might call missiles, but we call them rounds. And just the array of different things that we got, it was really, really, really awesome because I've never experienced that before, because the only thing you experience is the stuff you experience when you're in basic training in NIT. Well, this is the real deal here. We were coming down with some cool stuff. So we go and we gather our materials, and I noticed we picked up what they call a copperhead. Not only did we pick up one, but we picked up 6. So I was in 2nd platoon. The way the battery was made up was we had 1st platoon, 2nd platoon, 3rd platoon, and 4th platoon. So we had 4 platoons in one battery. We're an alpha battery. And we had the 1st platoon, which is a gun battery, 2nd platoon, which is another gun battery, 3rd platoon, which is another gun battery, another gun group, and then you have your 4th group, which is your headquarters, like your administrative things, your camp captain, your first sergeant, and the drivers, and the fuelers, and all those kind of things, maintenance people, and those things. So we go and we pick up our bullets and beans, and we drive out to the desert. So while we're out in the desert, it is burning hot out there. Let me tell you, I've never been so hot in my life, and I'm from Louisiana. And for things like that, it is totally, totally weird. So while we're in NTC, we go in and we start shooting, and when we're shooting into a mountain. Now I don't know if anybody's actually had a chance to just shoot at a dirt hill before, but shooting in the mountains and to see the impact was so awesome. We did 100. We had to calibrate. And for those who know what calibration is basically what calibration is you've got to, in order to shoot straight, you have to make sure that your bullets are going straight. And so that's basically what we're doing. We were shooting until our bullets got straight. And after we shot straight, then we did what we needed to do. So we continue to shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot. We shot a 100-round mission. And let me tell you, it's not easy picking up a 100-round. First, let me explain it. Why are you wearing a gun, okay? The gun we had was a howitzer, okay? We were mechanized. And so mechanized means that we were wheeled. Unmechanized or non-mechanized means, you know, you've got a howitzer with a wheel and you pull it with a truck. Well, we didn't need a truck. We just drove on. It was like a tank. We drove on it with the mechanized wheels. So we was in a 109 Alpha 1, okay, the old Alpha 1. And the 109 Alpha 1, we were rocking that thing, baby. So basically how it goes, and we go in, we occupy, put up. When you go to occupy, they got several things that we've got to do. The chief is screaming at you, and you've got to do your job and hear him scream at you and all that stuff. So while the chief is there screaming at you and you're doing all your stuff, you still got to shoot. So maybe you had a good 12 hours of sleep. Maybe you had 2 hours of sleep. Well, regardless of what happens is, no matter what time of the day is, you will have to shoot, okay? You can get a fire mission in the middle of the night, and guess what? You got to be ready. So basically what happens in the Alpha 1 is you back up on the spades, you dig deep in the dirt, because when you shoot, the gun's going to rock back. So you drop these spades. They look like two, the tractors when you lift up stuff, but they drop into the ground. We call them spades. They lock in. And then you get these rounds, and these rounds are all around the howitzer. And when you pick up the round, you have, first of all, you've got the bore, and then you've got to pull the tray out. You go in the black, in the red, in the black, in the red. You move up, there's a flat tray, and you have to push the rammer to the side, and basically a rammer is a hydraulic thing. So you put it to the side, then there's a tray, and you tilt it just a little bit. And so you pick up this round. First, what you got to do is you got, if it's a high explosive round, which is a HE, what we call a HE round, you have to have a point detonating or some type of fuse. You got the VT fuse, you got a mechanical time fuse, and you also got point detonating fuse, and you could do all kinds of things with that, okay? And so when you put the point detonating fuse on, you've got to tighten it, boom. There's other things that could go with it depending on what the mission is, but you put it on the tray, okay? Once you put that mug on the tray, you have to push it up a little bit, then you got to push back the hydraulic arm or rammer. And then you've got to go, and you got to say 1001, 1002, 1003, 1004, 1005, 1006, 1007, retracking, and then the arm comes back. Once it comes back, then you drop indicator in the black, indicator in the red, indicator in the black. All right, once that's in there, then what you got to do is take the powder. Now, depending on the charge or how far you want to shoot, than the charge. So if it's a green bag, there's a green bag, a white bag, a red bag, and a red bag. All right? And so if you have a green bag, there's only five increments in a green bag. So think about, you're thinking about little Hershey, lifesavers. You got one lifesaver, two lifesavers, three lifesavers, four lifesavers, five lifesavers in there. And you take the first two out. You eat the first two, and they got two left remaining. That would be like an increment for those who are wondering. So you take the increment. Say we shoot a charge for green bag. You take one of the increments off. You tie it up. And then there's a red pad in the back. And what that pad is the ignition pad. Okay? So you say, I see red to the rear. The reason why you say that is because some people are dumb and turn the charge around. And so you push it in, I see red to the rear. Then you go to the side of the actual machine that makes it shoot. Okay? So once you go that side, you lift it up, and it closes, and it spins, and it locks in the position. Then you take what they call a primer. It looks like a bullet, but it has like a little red little thing there. So when you go to pull the cord on it, it ignites like a little lighter, and it burns that red pad. It burns the red pad, and once that red pad is completely burnt, it'll burn all the other charges, and then it'll shoot the bullet out, and the bullet will propel. Now, we can reach out and touch somebody now. We can reach out and touch somebody. Let me give you some facts. It's been so long, I'm a little rusty, and I'm ashamed of myself to call myself a chief. And let's see, artillery. Hail, hail, artillery. King of battle, follow me. Artillery power. A king of battle, follow me, 'cause nothing in this world is free. Yes, a king of battle, follow me. Oh hella, oh hella, oh hella, hella artillery. A king of battle, follow me. King of battles, baby, you better get ready, 'cause we the king of battles. That's what we do. That's what we do. All right, so there's a green bag. The green bag is an M1, and it has an increment of five charges, one through five. M2 is a white bag, okay, and approximately weighs maybe, it says 29 pounds and 14 ounces. Then there's the base and two increments from five to seven, okay? Now, the distance is depending on, okay, so the HE round that I was telling you about was just a regular HE round an HE round shell, which is an M106 shell, weighs approximately 200 pounds. Okay, 200 pounds. An MK1-1 Alpha 1 weighs 200 pounds. Now, the range when you shoot this with a charge with the white bag with this HE, the furthest it can go is 11 miles. We can shoot 11. We can reach out and touch you. 11 miles? Poof. I'm talking about we reaching out and touching you, baby. We're going to reach out and touch you. We're about to get some. When we were shooting charge five green bag, we'll mix it up with a little white bag. But when we shot that 100 round mission, I got wore out about 15. I was done. Like, you serious? We need to I mean, I was sweating bullets. Of course, you got your gear on and all that stuff. You know, you don't know. You ain't no hurt and pain until you put on all that stuff and shelling. You sit up 200 rounds? Excuse me, 200 pounds worth of rounds? Plus the instruments and the you get a lot of physical endurance. A lot of physical endurance. But I'm not complaining. I had fun. I enjoyed myself. Now, we shot what they call a copperhead. Okay? We shot a copperhead. Now, back then, the copperheads were a little old school, how could I say this? It's kind of like Battlestar Galactica when the old robot looking with the little thing. Now the copperhead round, according to this, it's an M7 712 copperhead. It is a 1.55 millimeter, 1.6 inches caliber cannon launch, thin, stabilized, laser guided explosive. It's intended to engage hard target targets. Okay. And it also includes tanks, self-propelled howitzers, and other things like that. The weight of the thing is 137 pounds. Composition B is a little bit longer than the first one. So basically, you've got a regular round, but when the round comes out, once it turns into turret, it comes out and then boom, once it gets to a certain point, the fins pop out. Once the fins pop out, then whoever is lacing the target, the copperhead will pick it up electronically. And like I said, laser guided. So that was the first engineer of being laser guided. And it'll go and destroy the weapon. Or whatever you're trying to get into, and so we shot three of the four of those, and three of the four was time on target. That's what we say, time on TOT, baby, time on target, blowing up all kinds of stuff, and it was, you know, it's beautiful to see stuff blow up. I mean, we didn't get to see the benefits of it because we were sitting in a tank and we shot miles and miles away, but red bag. Red bag propellant. Yeah, we're gonna do this. Now, I can put this up in the website, but because it's not classified or anything like that. So the current bags that we have now is totally different because they use different increments than what I used to use. Now they got these new little things up in there, but, it is what it is. And, I can get down with the best of them, baby. Put it up there. We're gonna get it on. You hear me? Get it on. So these, I don't see where they have, what they say here. It's not the propellants I was looking for. But I was saying, when you reach out and touch somebody, man, these things are hellacious. Charge 7 red bag, right? What's in it is the charge and the propellant, but through the propellant, there's a whole lot of little beads in there. It's kind of like taking medicine, you know, the little medicine beads. That's the kind, how it kind of feels in there. So when you slide it in there, it is about as tall, almost halfway my height. So about say about my 3 feet tall. And the nomenclature of that is the M11. That's for the what's the nomenclature? Let me see here. Man, that's a big gun. That's a big gun. My favorite gun to shoot when I was an instructor was the 198. I was afraid kind of sort of to shoot that thing, but it's because it's manual. You can go as fast as you want. You don't have to worry about no computer. You just tell the soldiers what the deflection and the quadrant is. Load your rounds up in there. Load your powder in there as fast as you can. Put that stuff in there. Get it ready to go. And you wait for FDC. They tell you to fire. If it is a firearm command, then you gotta wait. Simple as that. Firearm command, you gotta wait. Gotta wait. Fire at will. Get it on, man. I mean, because hey, it's nothing. It ain't nothing better than seeing a whole bunch of smoke. For my listeners, I'm gonna get a little graphic. We call it wolf pussy. There's nothing like that smell coming out that when you shoot that howitzer. You can't get it's a smell. Only artillerymen can understand that, because the smell is just so. I don't even know how to explain it. It's so beautiful. Let me take a pause real quick.
This one goes out to my little homie Brandon. Told you, I got you, my man.
A lot of pressure, man. Let's go, baby. Sophisticated gorillas is on the move tonight. VA, stand up. Come on. 100 miles of running, with guns in our hand, barbarian, heavy metal, carrying rock band, investing in stock, man, testing the clock, grand, my peeps got a spot on the block of my block, fam, a jar in the pot, man, gets you a knot, man, like ching ching, hot damn, cooked it like hot ham, gotta be smart, man, playing your part, man, get your feelings apart, with ice over your heart, man, hustle ain't a game, hustle in the art, man, 50% sour, 50% smart, man, and lame as turns ain't
difficulties. I'm trying to fix. So we've got this we've got this 198. This 198 is just, to me, so awesome. I mean, you can't really hate on it, because it is a good weapon. Okay. Now, this, I'm trying to find something for y'all to give y'all the distance, and I can't quite find it, and I apologize. I know I had it. Let me do something else. I'm trying to get, oh Lord, the same thing I downloaded before. I'm trying to get the distance for an accurate distance, because when we put when we put rounds out there, we're going to reach out and we're going to touch you. You don't have to worry about, I mean, that's why we were so increment in the Vietnam War, because we could reach out and touch the Viet Cong out there if they wanted to mess around. And we didn't harm anybody, didn't endanger anybody. Not saying that, you know, the infantry guys couldn't do the same thing, but I mean, the mortars, they don't go as far as we do. So to put out the range that we do, oh man, it is something crazy. I'm talking crazy. They give us the range, but I don't want a zone, because the zones don't tell me exactly what I need to know. But I'm pulling up something, but okay. So the 198, keeps us going, keeps us flowing, and as fast as you can put it out, the faster you can shoot. Now, when I was in Korea, I wasn't on the IHA, I was in the IHA, and basically what that meant was I gave the bullets and to the other people, and they began to shoot. So it was fun doing that. But before I left Korea, man, I tell you what, it was so hard, because we got hit with a monsoon, and we worked our katusi off. We worked every day, all day, all night, and it felt like we would never get a break. And when we lost close to $1 million worth of ammo, or more, because we not only lost bullets and ammunition, we also lost AT-4s, which are missile launchers. We lost grenades. We lost vehicles, just all kinds of stuff that we lost. And I don't understand how all of it happened, but it happens, and it sucks. But that experience doesn't change how I feel and how much fun I had over there. Met some great people while I was there. And we're still friends till the day. So knowing that we're still friends, it's a great feeling to have those kind of people still in your life. Now, there's some people I wish I was still in contact with. There's others that I don't. But, you know, I mean, I guess they feel the same way about me. And it is... it is the relationships that you build while you're in the military that are so great. You don't always see eye to eye sometimes, but that's okay, because, you know, life is like that. So you can always and just enjoy the idea of learning from one another. So, I'd like to thank everybody for listening. This is George Beverly, Sound Off Forums. I'm signing off. Next time I hear you, you should be sounding off.